नमोम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय कले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो थैंक वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। We have been discussing from the second chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, and we are discussing the commentary of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, which is called as Sararta Varshini. So, in the second chapter, we have been discussing about the symptoms of a self-realized person, Asthita Pragya. As Arjuna asked this question, when in the previous section Krishna described that how a person who practices Nishkama Karma Yoga, gradually his heart becomes purified and how he reaches the stage of Jnana Yoga. And at that time he says that that his intelligence fixed. Samadav achala buddhi tada yogam avapsasi, Krishna says. So this achala buddhi is the same as sthita pragya. Achala is sthita, buddhi is pragya. So achala buddhi means one intelligence does not flicker. And sthita pragya is one whose intelligence does not flicker. And such a person is called a jivan mukta. Okay. So this transition from Nishkama Karma Yoga to Jnana Yoga was described by Krishna. And now at this point of time, Arjuna wants to know, how does one understand if he is ready for this Jnana Yoga? How does one understand whether he is a Sthita Pragya or not? What are the symptoms of a Sthita Pragya? So Arjuna says, Sthita Pragyasya Kabasha Samastasya Keshava Sthitadirkim Prabhashetakima Sthita Vrajetakim. So he says that what are the symptoms of a Sthita Pragya? How does that Sthita Pragya speak? Which means, how does he respond to dualities? Kim Asita, how does he sit? Which means, how does he control his senses when it is not needed to engage the senses? And Vrajeta Kim, how does he move? Meaning, how does he engage his senses when it is needed to engage them? So, in response to this, Krishna answered, if you remember, first he described Sthipragyasya Ka Bhasha. Ka Bhasha means what are the symptoms? So Krishna said, Prajahati yada kaman sarvan partha manogatan atmanyeva atmatushta sthita pragyastadochate. He said, when a person yada prajahati, prajahati means prakrishta rupena jahati, when he completely gives up sarvan manogatan man, all the desires which are born out of the mind. So manogatan kaman means all desires which are born out of the vasanas, material impressions which are stored within the mind. So one who has given up all of that, atmani eva atmana tushtaha, and one who is satisfied with the soul alone by that mind, sthita pragyas tadochyate, such a person called the soul. When he is only satisfied in aspiring after the soul, to realize the soul and the Brahman and the super soul, you can say. So such a person, one who is absolutely not interested in any materialistic pursuits which are inspired by the material impressions which are stored within the mind, such a person is a sthita pragya. Right? So this is the symptom. These are the symptoms of a sthita pragya. And then in one verse, so he answers this. And then the next verse he says, how does he speak? Which means, how does he respond to dualities? किम प्रभाषेत दुःखेषु अनुद्विग्न मना सुखेषु विगत स्पृह वीतराग भय क्रोध स्थितधीर मुनि उच्यते दुःखेषु अनुद्विग्न मना सो सच अ पर्सन इज नॉट अग्रीव्ड व्हेन सफरिंग अपियर्स इन द फॉर्म ऑफ आध्यात्मिक अधिभौतिक अधिदैविक क्लेशस सुखेषु विगत स्पृह sukeshu vigata spraha means when there is an opportunity to enjoy or when there is an opportunity for happiness he has no desire to enjoy it. So dukkeshu anudvigna mana sukeshu vigata spraha vita raga bhaya krodha and such a person is devoid of attachment fear and anger stita pragyastadochate. So that's what he says. So his mind is not disturbed by the adhyatmika adibhauta adidaivik kleshas. And when someone asks about his welfare, how are you, or he says that, oh, why are you suffering? He says, oh, prarabdha karma. So I am suffering because of my prarabdha karma. So he's not agitated. So when one perfectly understands that I am not getting anything which I don't deserve, when there is a sense of feeling of justice, then one develops the ability to tolerate the suffering. But when we are not able to ascertain whether it is just or unjust, or if we are convinced that it is not just, then even the smallest of sufferings can give us a lot of pain, right? Like that. So he says and false indifference to suffering, the mark of the imposter, however, is detected as such by the wise man. So this is not like a kind of made up false indifference to suffering. He's not just faking it. That is not a genuine person. And in the face of opportunities for happiness also, he is without a desire to enjoy it, because he says to himself that it is simply his prarabdha karma which he must tolerate, like that. Okay, so and in order to make these qualities very clear, it is further mentioned vita raga, vita bhaya, vita krodha. He is devoid of attachment to enjoyment. He is devoid of fear from, you know, dangerous things like wild animals. And he is devoid of anger towards friends who have attacked him. And the example that is given is Jadabharat. So in this way, Kim Prabhasheta was answered, and in one more verse this is clarified. Yas sarvatra nabishnehas tattat prapya shubha shubham nabhinandanti nadveshti tasya prajna pratishtita. So he says that such a person has no motivated affections. Motivated affection means, oh, I will express my affection to this person because I have some benefit which I can get from him. You know, even between relatives, you see sometimes, you know, if the other relative is of some utility in terms of some monetary thing or some inheritance or something, then there is affection. But for one, that is why Krishna also says, right? Yasyaham anugrinami harishetad dhanam shanaihi. Tato adanam tejantesya sojana dukkha dukkitam. So if I want to especially show my mercy to someone, I take their wealth away. And when the wealth goes, then one big shelter goes away. False shelter. Okay. So when Krishna says, I take their wealth away, what he means to say is, I take their false shelter away. On which they are dependent. Okay. So, and when when wealth is taken away, then they seek the second false shelter, which is the relatives and friends. But those people also, when wealth goes away, when they understand that there is no utility from this person, they also go away. So which means practically people of this world who have material desires, desire for enjoyment, they actually have motivated affection. So they have only motivated affection. They know that if I want to show affection to this person so that I can get something out of it. Okay. But these people, Asthita is, yes, sarvatra anabhishnehaha. He has motivated affection at all. Shubha prapya vinandanti ashubham prapya nadveshti. It's not rejoice on attaining good fortune. He does not curse on attaining misfortune. Okay. So, even though he has no motivated affections, but he can have affection to all living entities to some degree, born out of his compassion or mercy. So, that is possible. So, and if he gets something favorable, he does not say that, you are very great, like that. Or if someone gives him some nice food when he is on his madhukari, then he does not say, oh, you are such a great person, like that. And when someone does not give any food or criticizes that person, he does not counter criticize that person. Nabhinandanti nadveshti tasya pragya pratishtita, like that. Okay. Then we saw the third answer to the third question, where Arjuna asks, Kim asita? How does he sit? Which means, how does he not engage his senses when not needed? So, in response to this, he said, Yada samharate chayam purmongani va sarvashtaka indriyani indriyartebhyas tasya pragya pratishtita. So he says, Yada ayam samharate indriyani sarvashaha. When he easily withdraws all his senses completely, indriyartebhyah, from the sense objects, kurmaha anganiva, just like a turtle withdrawing his limbs, tasya pragya pratishtita, he is a person who is situated in samadhi. So it is mentioned that this person's answers, how does he sit? He withdraws his senses, such as the ear, from the objects of the senses, such as sound. Now, how he is able to... So, we saw that, why do the senses get attracted to the sense objects? We saw, when the senses look at a sense object or come into a sense object, immediately the mind starts accessing all the past vasanas in connection with that sense object. And then when there is a very pleasant experience with the subject, then the senses pull the mind and the senses run behind the sense objects. But because this person, by his practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga, has destroyed all the materialistic vasanas, therefore, the senses do not get attracted to the sense objects. So, like that. But then someone may say, what is the big deal in stopping the senses from going after the sense object? Because even a person who does not eat, who fasts, you know, he can resist the temptation, because his senses will become weak and his senses will not go after the sense object. So what is the big deal, someone may say? So he says, Vishaya vinivartante nirahasya dehinaha. Rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishva nivartate. He says, one who refrains from eating also stops the sense objects from functioning. Vishaya, vishaya nivartante. Okay. Because for last time, prana, which gives strength to the senses, especially the karmendriyas, prana comes from an. So when an is stopped, prana becomes weak. When prana becomes weak, the indriyas become weak. When the indriyas become weak, then the mouth, the tongue cannot taste, the anus and genitals become weak to function, the hands and legs become weak to function, like that. But this is very superficial, because rasavarjam, the desire to enjoy the sense object, does not go away. The ability to enjoy goes. The ability to enjoy is temporarily gone because the senses become weak due to fasting. But a jnana yogi's refraining from sense objects is not like that. It is not that he has the desire to enjoy, but still, because the senses have become weak due to fasting, therefore he is not pursuing that object of sense gratification. It's not like that. Param drishva. Here, another reason for not pursuing sense objects is, if someone has developed an attraction to a more relishable subject matter or sense object, then the less relishable one does not get attracted. Well, this person is attracted to the Atma now, he is no longer attracted to the lower things. So that way he stops his sense gratification, the desire for sense gratification. So that's what here Krishna says, that Chaya vinivartante niraharasya dehinah rajam rasopyasya param drishva nivarte. So but then in the next verse he says that that how this kind of detachment from sense objects due to development of higher taste is possible only by strict sadhana. Prematurely to show such detachment is very difficult. So in order to establish this point, Krishna is, yatato hi api kaunteya purushasya vipaschitaha indriyani pramatini haranti prasabam manaha. A person may have very strong theoretical knowledge. Purushasya vipaschitaha. He is a wise man. He has wisdom, but that wisdom is not realized wisdom. Okay. Purushasya vipaschitaha. Yatato hi api. He may endeavor to control the senses. Okay. Even for the wise man who endeavors to control the senses, indriyani pramatini, very strong, adamant senses, manaha prasavam haranti, they can take the mind away by force. So this is not very easy. The effort at the stage of sadhana is very great, without power to turn back the senses completely at all times. So pramatini means causing agitation. So it's not very easy. One may have some theoretical knowledge, very strong theoretical knowledge, but it is not easy to control the senses. The senses are very powerful. Okay. Then he says, but there is a very secret weapon. What is that secret weapon? He says, so the secret weapon. Tani sarvani sanyamya yukta asita matpara. Matpara. Vashehi yasyendriyani tasya pragya pratishtita. He says, yuktaha, the yogi, matpara, the yogi who is devoted to me. This does not necessarily refer to bhakti yogi, but this refers to a person whose practice includes the element of bhakti practices. It is, he is not just practicing dry jnana, His practice of jnana has the element of bhakti, that is worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is involved in the practice of jnana. That is what is mentioned here as matpara. It's not that suddenly he is talking about pure devotional service. So here it is, it refers to as a secondarily he is devoted to Krishna. The yogi who is devoted to Krishna, tani sarvani sayamya asita. Such a person can train all the senses and he can remain non-responsive to the objects of sense gratification. So it is possible. So vashehi yasyendriyani tasya pragya pratishthita. One whose senses have thus been controlled by being devoted to Krishna and of course parallelly practicing jnana yoga, such a person is a sthita pragya, right? So matparaha means my devotee. Without devotee, one cannot conquer the senses. This will be seen everywhere in the later verses of Gita. We saw prayasya pundarikaksha yunjanto yogino manaha visidanti asamadhanan mano nigraha karshitaha atata ananda dugam padambujam hamsaha shreya. So he says that generally the yogis who try to study their mind experience frustration because of their inability to perfect the state of samadhi. Thus, they become very tired in attempting to bring their mind under control. Therefore, intelligent people surrender to your lotus feet like that. Person whose senses have been brought under control is the Tathapragya. This distinguishes him from the sadhaka, the person attempting to do so. So this person is the position of the siddha. Perfected person. Perfected jnana yogi. Okay. Whereas this is the position of beginning sadhaka. ओके यततो हि अपि कौन्तेय पुरुषस्य विपश्चितः इन्द्रियाणि प्रमातेनि हरन्ति प्रसवं मनः लाइक दैट. सो दिस इज वेयर आई थिंक वी एंडेड आवर डिस्कशन राइट. सो ही सेज दैट सो एज परफेक्टेड ज्ञान योगी एज अकम्प्लिश सेंस कंट्रोल ड्यू टू नेचुरल डिटैचमेंट. Whereas a sadhaka is attempting sense control and he will realize that the senses are very, very powerful. So this is where we ended our discussion last week. Before we start today's discussion from the second chapter, any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add before we move forward. Okay, if there is none, then we will continue our discussion. Okay. Yes, Sachi
Prabhuji,
Prabhu.
Prabhuji, sometimes we have a knowledge, we know that senses are very powerful. But in association of when we have association, it is the same knowledge is helpful for practicing an application. But the knowledge is there. But when you are alone practicing bhakti, because everywhere you may not get, a temple, have a morning sadhana, attend Mangalarti, and have studied devotional service. So most of the time it is not possible, everyone may not be so fortunate. So in that case, that particular, devotee is despite of his efforts, is practicing like last week I'm discussing about the impressions in the mind, like whatever. So So it is very difficult to, you know, practice bhakti in a steady way in a place where there is no temple.
Yeah,
because because when we are in associate devotee also we have a temple, so naturally it becomes, you know, we are habitually going temple or mangala arati, and it becomes so you know easy for to control the, you know, the things. But when you are alone and there is no temple worship is there nearby, no temple, and even if you try to do it same thing on visual or attending something, but it is not so effective in practicing devotional life.
Correct. That is very much correct. That is why we should that's why we should understand. So that's why we should endeavor our best to create association wherever it is there. If virtual association is not good enough, then at least one or two persons we have invest in, you know, inspiring them, and so that we can come together every once in a while, whatever is practically possible. And also it is it's a very humbling experience, which is very good, that we just know that how much of our devotional power is borrowed and how much actually belongs to ourselves. You know, it's a very good reality test for us. So
yes, sir.
So and it is good actually. So that way we can seek the association more sincerely. You know, this kind of reality test helps us appreciate the association of devotees very nicely. Otherwise, those who have constant association, it's very likely that they will take that association for granted and not realize that how much of their own practice, the strength for how much of their own practice is actually borrowed from the association of this. So it is actually good that at least this will help us develop a very strong appreciation for association of devotees. And then it will push us in a direction where we somehow try to create some association so that we can stay in their association and you know, practice devotional service in a little better way. So yes, what you say is definitely correct, and that is the conclusion of Bhagavatam also. That is the conclusion of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita also, that that the root of devotional seed is association of devotee, and even after one achieves the stage of Krishna prema, then still the association of devotees remains the most important element in a devotee's life. So therefore it's very difficult. So therefore there is no solution to it. We have to seek association wherever we are if we want to improve our standard of practice of devotional service. That is the only solution.
Thank you, Proji. Another just subsequent, I think not a question but a thought process, Proji. We have many of us have as a smartphones and many classes we are hearing, you know. Now most of the classes were, you know, downloaded when we can hear, but many time when we are online, you know, usually some people will send message, that's there, you know, some news come, that comes. So many material impressions, you know, automatically you don't have, you know, to seek that. But because you are carrying a phone with the enabled internet or something, so you are, you know, you are naturally inclined to, you know, look into other aspects of, you know, what is going on here, what is going on there. And this impressions also not healthy for, you know, our devotees who are practicing steady devotional life. So are that particular devotee should give up that mobile with the internal inability? Because if that he give up, then he is bereft of all hearing lectures.
Yeah, I understand. But if that devotee can function on a professional front without that, then we can definitely, you know, arrange something, you know, for you know, one can download it once from someone else's or one can download it in laptop and then transfer it to the phone or something like that, and then one can always hear the downloaded lectures. So that's while moving around in our pocket, we don't necessarily have to have internet enabled phone. So, but what you say is 100% right, that it is a tremendous source of distraction which can take our solid mental power away from Krishna consciousness. It's actually not good. And most of us probably are not very powerful enough to resist the misuse of the facility that is there. And most of us may have a lot of time also. So it is not a very good combination. So we have to individually see what we can do. Sometimes for personal reasons, it may not be possible for us to give it up completely. So then we have to see, you know, there are things like, you know, you can say like parental control things, apps are there, which, I mean, they need not be just for children, but even adults can make good use of that. One can install and then the password can be there with some other person, and only certain particular sites can open, you can enable. There are ways of doing that only, so that way it can bring in some kind of
discipline.
Yeah. Because because someone may say, "Arey Prabhuji, what is the big deal? Arey parental control sab kya hai? Matlab ye sab what you know that one should have the sort of tolerance from inside. Ye sab external sab what big deal? You know, people may say like that." They say that, you know, that, what do they say? Morality is the lack of opportunity. So, this is, people may say, aapka ye kaun sa morality hai? This kind of morality is just lack of opportunity. You don't have opportunity, that's why you are moral. But the moment you get opportunity, you will not be moral. So, ye kaun sa bada baat hai? People may say like that. But the point is, lack of opportunity is the best starting point of morality. That is what Krishna would say. Krishna would say in the next chapter, Krishna, when he speaks about lust, he will say there are three places of residence of lust. The senses, the mind and intelligence, he says. Lust remains in senses, mind and intelligence. And he says, the easiest way to address lust is through senses. Which means, don't give any opportunity for the senses to come in touch with sense objects. Rather, give them favorable engagement. Give them favorable Krishna conscious engagement, but strictly stop any opportunity for the senses to come in touch with material sense objects. So, which means basically Krishna is telling lack of opportunity. He says, if you want to control lust and become a moral person, lack of opportunity is the beginning point, he says. So, if someone says, "Ye kaun sa bada baat hai? This is just lack of opportunity," we can say, yes, yes, utna bada baat nahi hai. So, mera capacity utna hi hai. And over a period of time, we will see that how that lack of opportunity gave opened up new doors where the mind had no other option. The mind had no other option to, anyway, because you asked this question, I will just touch this point. So basically, the mind, the role of mind is thinking, feeling, and willing.
Oh.
So, this is the mind. Okay. And the mind, it does thinking, feeling, and willing based on the vasanas. And how does the mind gather vasanas? The senses. Ear, eyes, tongue, skin, and nose. Okay. So, when all these senses come in touch with the sense objects, that experience gets registered in the mind in the form of vasanas. And the mind thinks, feels, and wills based on these vasanas. Okay. And generally, if you see the mind, mind has a surface, and the mind has its, you can say, deeper recess. Okay. So the mind has the surface and the mind has the deeper recess. Generally, whatever fresh impressions are accumulated through the nose, ears, eyes, tongue, and skin, they get stored in the surface. These are the surface impressions. But whatever was experienced weeks before, months before, years before is also there in the deeper recesses of the mind. And by our practice of bhakti, slowly the old vasanas can get erased. But the newer vasanas, the surface vasanas, have to be managed. How to manage them? Savai manakrishna padaravindayor vachamsi vaikunta gunanu varnane karau harer mandira marjanadishu shrutim chakara achyuta satkatodaye mukunda lingalaya darshane drishau, and so on. Where it is mentioned how Ambarish Maharaj used to engage all the senses in activities of Krishna consciousness. So, what happens? Only Krishna conscious impressions get accumulated in the surface. Of course, old impressions, it will take some time to go away. But at least the surface impressions are only Krishna conscious impressions. Because our nose, ear, eyes, tongue, skin is all engaged only in Krishna conscious activities. So the fresh, newer impressions are all Krishna conscious impressions. So the mind, nature of the mind, one good thing about for us is that the nature of the mind is that it will make best use of the bad bargain. This is the nature of mind. I will give you an example for this. When I was in my boarding school, it was Sainik school. So we were all trained to enter into the armed forces. So in that particular school, you know, practically everyone would eat non-vegetarian food. But because I grew up in a proper Sri Vaishnav family where hardly even onion and garlic were used in our cooking. So for me to change to non-vegetarian was practically impossible. I tried. Everyone was pushing me because practically out of 600 people, students in our school, hardly 5-6 of us were vegetarians. Rest were all non-vegetarians. And even in that 5-6, 3-4 will become non-vegetarians in 1 year or so. And then, but new people will come out of which another 3-4 would be vegetarians like that. So like that, for me, it was impossible for me to become a non-vegetarian, even though I tried. I tried a few times, but the smell was too difficult for me to tolerate. It was not possible. I remember we used to have summer vacation and winter vacation during the year. So during summer vacation and winter vacation, we used to go home. So after staying at home for 1-1.5 months, when we used to come back, because our school was close to a river, the major meat which they used to make was, they used to make a lot of fish. And the whole mess and the plates and the glass, everything used to smell like fish. Whether it is for vegetarians or non-vegetarians, there was no separate vegetarian plate and non-vegetarian plate. It was the same thing. Plate, glasses, all of that used to smell like fish. And, you know, you used to, from a distance, about 0.5 kilometer away from the mess, it used to smell like fish. So after spending 1-1.5 months at home, eating mother-cooked pure vegetarian food, when I used to come the first day to the school, on my first day night, when I used to go to the mess for dinner, invariably I never used to eat because the smell would be intolerable. Everything would be smelling like fish. It was so intolerable. Then I would not eat. I would go to the hostel, and because we had just come from home, there used to be some mother homemade chakli vakli and all those things. So I used to eat that and just move on for, but this would go on for 1 or 2 days only. After that, it would get over. How much chakli you can eat, everything gets over. Then after 2 days, you will feel hungry. So then slowly, slowly, then you start eating. And in those days, we used to have every Wednesday afternoon, we used to have some special food, ceremonial lunch. So Wednesday afternoons and Friday nights, we used to have ceremonial lunch and ceremonial dinner. The ceremonial lunch means some, instead of white rice, there would be pulao, and there would be some, you know, special non-vegetarian preparations for the non-vegetarians and some special vegetarian preparations for the vegetarians, like cutlets and things like that. Custard, cutlet, some sweets like that. So within a few days, so the first day, second day, Monday, Tuesday used to be very difficult, Sunday, Tuesday. But when Wednesday afternoon comes, then there is special food. So there is some eagerness to eat. You start eating with lot of relish. Nothing has changed. The plates and glasses are still stinking like fish only. Nothing has changed. But the mind starts searching for the best amongst what is available. When you tell the mind only this will be provided, then the mind will start searching for the best of the available things. So when I was thinking I can never eat in this mess, I was literally crying on the first day. Tears were flowing. And I went out without eating anything. But within 2 days, the mind was fantasizing about Wednesday afternoons and Friday nights. The ceremonial lunch and ceremonial dinner. Nothing has changed. Everything is still stinking like fish only. But the mind has this ability to adjust, that it will search for the best available sense gratification. So within that stinking mess, the best available sense gratification was on Wednesday nights and on Friday, Wednesday afternoons and Friday nights. So the mind very quickly got adjusted to it. So this is the this nature of mind is very good actually for us. In Kapila Dev says in Srimad Bhagavatam, Narakastopi Deham Vai Puman Natyaktum Ichchati. So he says that even when a living entity goes to Naraka and suffers hellish suffering there, still the living entities don't want to give up their body in Naraka. They want to stay in Naraka. Why? Because he says, in Naraka also, between the torturous suffering, the living entity finds some very little meager scope for sense gratification and gets attached to it. This is the nature of mind. Mind very quickly gets adjusted to available sense gratification. So, what sense gratification to make available to the mind is in our hands actually. By addressing what we are going to feed to our nose, ears, tongue. Because for us, it is easier to control the senses than the mind. Like say, for example, how many of you chant 16 rounds every day? Can you please raise your hands? Only Sachipran, too? Okay, a few more are raising their hands. Right? More people are chanting 16 rounds. Okay. So, practically everyone is chanting 16 rounds. So now, how many of you... Okay, now you can put your hands down. I'm going to ask the next question. How many of you, your mind never gets distracted? You're able to think about Krishna while chanting all your rounds, 16 rounds. Anyone? Not a single person. Right? Okay. Now, how many of you hear Bhagavatam or some Krishna conscious topics during the week? If not every day, at least once in a few days. How many of you hear some Krishna conscious katha or topics? Very good. How many of you? Okay, now you can put your hands down. You can put your hands down. But how many of you, while hearing Krishna katha, your mind never gets distracted and is always able to think about Krishna? Anyone? Except for Sachipran Prabhu, everyone's mind get distracted. Only Sachipran Prabhu's mind never gets distracted, he says. He's raising his hands. Okay. So at least a vast majority of us are agreeing that. Okay. How many of you take darshan of deities? If not physically, at least, you know, netrotsav photos you get. You do take darshan, right? Or you may have home deities also. You may take darshan. Okay, you can put your hands down. How many of you, while taking darshan of deities, your mind never gets distracted? Anyone? No one, right? So similarly, all of you must be eating prasadam. All of you must be sometimes embracing the devotees, you know, touching the form of the Lord while massaging and all that. So therefore, it is easier to engage our senses in Krishna conscious activities, but it is very difficult to engage the mind. But if we are not engaging our senses in Krishna conscious activities, it is impossible to engage the mind. So therefore, the beginning is to actually give Krishna conscious engagement to the senses. That's why Krishna says, Tasmatvam Indriyani Adau Niyamya Bharatarshava. Start with regulating your senses, which means by giving it Krishna conscious engagement. So when constantly by giving Krishna conscious engagement, the surface impressions all become Krishna conscious. This is called, means not by acharyas, but I call it surface impression management. SIM, surface impression management. So if we manage the surface impressions by constant, by as much as possible, constantly giving Krishna conscious engagement to our senses, especially the Gyanendriyas, then what happens? The mind, we are controlling the food for the mind. The food for the mind is all Krishna conscious. So it will say, अरे ये जपा जपा बहुत हो गया, अभी थोड़ा ग्रेटिफिकेशन चाहिए. तो क्या ग्रेटिफिकेशन अवेलेबल है? हाँ, प्रसादम. और क्या है? चलो जाके थोड़ा डीटीज का दर्शन लेके आते हैं, मतलब थोड़ा यू नो लेट्स गो एंड टेक, आज कौन सा ड्रेस पहना है भगवान ने, यू नो लेट्स गो एंड टेक दर्शन. अरे बहुत सुन लिया, यू नो आई हर्ड टू मच, I don't have capacity to hear more. You know, let me spend some time, thoda kirtan mein jaake baithta hun. You know, so the mind, when the mind has no other scope for other gratification, the nature of mind is it will search for the best of the available gratification. So if we give only Krishna conscious gratification, mind will not have a problem. Mind will search for the best available gratification. But if we keep giving it non-Krishna conscious gratification, because we have lived in this material world for so long and we have attachment to things of this material world much more than the attachment that we have for Krishna. So therefore, even little bit of sense gratification opportunity that is there, even though 95% we engage in, we give our senses Krishna conscious engagement, but 5% also we give non-Krishna engagement. But if we have more attachment to that 5%, then the nature of the mind is to go and sit on the best of the available opportunity. If the best of the available opportunity is non-Krishna conscious, then the mind will go and dwell naturally on that. So therefore, eventually, it, you know, we can address this only by starting with the senses somehow or other. Give, even though, because I was sharing the other day that many times we think that you know, Prabhuji, don't practice bhakti mechanically, but we say you have to practice bhakti spontaneously, from the heart, spontaneously. But I would say spontaneously we can do only gratification. Because spontaneous bhakti to bahut dur ki baat hai. It's a very high thing. So there are three things. Okay. If you are insistent on doing spontaneous, we can do only spontaneous sense gratification. But higher than that is mechanical devotional service. And still higher than that is spontaneous devotional service. Okay. We say that don't do mechanical devotional service, do spontaneous devotional service. But उसके लिए अधिकार चाहिए. But better than, we may say that spontaneous devotional service is better than mechanical devotional service. That is true. But what is more relevant for us is mechanical devotional service is better than spontaneous sense gratification. Because spontaneous devotional service हमको spontaneously नहीं आता है. Sense gratification is spontaneously आता है. So first we have to focus on mechanical devotional service. Mechanical devotional service मतलब क्या है? मन लगे या ना लगे, इंद्रियों को तो लगाना ही चाहिए. इंद्रियों, if the senses engage in Krishna conscious activities, automatically mind will follow. So but if the senses are not engaged in Krishna conscious activities, then the mind can never think of Krishna. So while we are, while our senses are engaged in activities of sense gratification, our mind can never think of Krishna. We saw a practical example of that. Even when the when our senses are engaged in Krishna conscious activities, for our mind to think of Krishna is difficult. So how would it be possible for our senses to be engaged in non-Krishna conscious activities and for the mind to still think of Krishna? That's practically impossible. So first thing is to start with giving constant Krishna conscious engagement for our senses. When that happens, then gradually engaging the mind would be possible. Like once His Holiness Gaur Krishna Maharaj was, he was speaking with a devotee and he asked, kya aapka sola mala ho raha hai ki nahi? To bole, nahi Maharaj, nahi ho raha hai. So Maharaj ne pucha, kyun nahi ho raha hai? And उन्होंने बोला मन नहीं लग रहा है महाराज, मन नहीं लग रहा है. तो महाराज ने पूछा सो तो जपा नहीं करेगा तो मन लग जाएगा. इफ यू डोंट डू जपा योर इफ यू डोंट डू जपा योर माइंड विल गेट अब्सॉर्ब लाइक दैट. सो विच मीन्स द The means for your mind to get absorbed is only when the mind gets the favorable impressions, favorable Krishna conscious impressions for the mind to dwell on. But if we are, if our senses are not providing those favorable Krishna conscious impressions for the mind to dwell on, how is it possible for the mind to think of Krishna? तो वही महाराज पूछ रहे हैं, तो जपा नहीं करेगा तो लग जाएगा मन. कैसे लगेगा? नहीं लगेगा. आई डोंट नो, इज दैट रेलेवेंट सचिव राम टू?
यस यस प्रोजी, परफेक्टली. थैंक यू सो मच, नाइसली एक्सप्लेन प्रोजी.
हरे कृष्ण. थैंक यू. एनी फर्दर डिस्कशन पॉइंट्स, क्वेश्चंस, कमेंट्स बिफोर वी मूव ऑन टू टुडेस डिस्कशन? एनीथिंग? Okay, so if there is no further questions or discussion points, we will move on to today's discussion. So, in the previous verse, Krishna told, Tani sarvani sayamya yukta asita matpara vashehi yasyendriyani tasya prajna pratishtita. So, for one who is devoted to me, if for one who is matpara, then such a person can restrain his senses and not respond to the onslaughts of the sense objects. So which means for one who is not attached to worshipping Krishna, such a person cannot really control his senses. That is what the verse says, indicates. So now, what if someone is not worshipping Krishna? So what will be his situation? Okay. So then if, what is the position of a person who cannot control his mind because he is not worshipping Krishna? So then Krishna says, Dhyayato vishayan humsa sangasteshu pajayate sangat sanjayate kamaha kamat krodo vijayate. So he says, Dhyayato Vishayan Humsaha. For the person who meditates on the sense objects, meditation is done on the platform of mind. So he is thinking about the sense objects. So when he thinks of the sense objects, what happens? Sangaha Teshu Upajayate. For him, he develops attachment. So first, he looks at an object. Then he thinks about it. अच्छा लग रहा है, मतलब इट लुक्स लाइक इट इज गुड, देन अटैचमेंट, अटैचमेंट तो अरे वो खाऊंगा तो अच्छा लगेगा. सो फर्स्ट ही थिंक्स ऑफ अ रसगुल्ला एंड देन सो दैट इज ध्यायतो, देन कम्स संग मीन्स अरे वो खाऊंगा तो बहुत अच्छा लगेगा. एंड देन कम्स संगात संजायते कामः, कामः मीन्स अरे मुझे वो खाना ही चाहिए, आई वॉन्ट टू ईट इट. सो देन व्हेन दैट डिजायर कम्स ही विल एक्ट ऑन दैट डिजायर, ही विल गेट अ रसगुल्ला. बट इफ समवन स्नैचेस दैट रसगुल्ला फ्रॉम हिम और समवन सेज मुझे भी आधा दे दो ना, तो व्हाट हैपेंस, कामात क्रोधो भी जायते. व्हेन डिजायर इज स्टॉप्ड काम लीड्स टू क्रोध, व्हेन डिजायर इज फुलफिल्ड काम लीड्स टू लोभ. ओके सो हियर ही सेज फर्स्ट कम्स ध्यायतो, फ्रॉम दैट कम्स संगा अटैचमेंट, फ्रॉम संग कम्स काम, एंड काम इज फुलफिल्ड इट लीड्स टू लोभ, व्हेन इट इज नॉट फुलफिल्ड इट लीड्स टू क्रोध. ओके सो ही सेज द स्थित प्रज्ञा कंट्रोल्स ऑल्सो द माइंड, दैट इंडीड इज द कॉज ऑफ द कंट्रोल ऑफ द सेंसेस. सो हाउ इज एबल टू कंट्रोल द सेंसेस, because a sthita pragya is able to control his mind. If one does not have control of the mind at all, then please hear the result. If one cannot control the mind, then this is what happens to him. First he meditates, even before dhyayato comes the senses touch the sense objects. Okay, when the senses touch the sense objects, then the mind immediately starts meditating on that. Then comes sangha, sangha from sangha comes kama. Kama when fulfilled leads to lobha, when frustrated it leads to krodha. So the person who thinks of the sense objects develop attachment to them. Sangha. And by that attachment develops a strong desire for those objects. From desire, anger develops due to obstruction to fulfilling his desire caused by someone or something. Kamat krodho vijayate. Then we will complete this verse also. Krodhat bhavati sammohah, sammohat smriti vibramah, smriti bramshat buddhi nasho, buddhi nashat pranashyati. So, he says, krodhat, from anger, भवति सम्मोहः. सम्मोह मीन्स बिल्डरमेंट, कंप्लीट बेविल्डमेंट. सम्मोहात् स्मृति विभ्रमा, एंड व्हेन वन गेट्स बेविल्डर्ड वन लूजेस हिज मेमोरी. स्मृति भ्रंशात् बुद्धि नाशो, व्हेन द मेमोरी लॉस्ट लीड्स टू लॉस ऑफ इंटेलिजेंस. बुद्धि नाशात् प्रणश्यति, द इंटेलिजेंस इज लॉस्ट. One completely becomes this. Okay. So, what is this? What are these terminologies listed? What is this sammoha? What is this smriti vibhrama? What does he forget? Okay. And what is this loss of intelligence? And what is this pranashyati? What is this being destroyed completely? What are these things? Right. So he says, from anger it develops absence of discrimination of what should be done and what should not be done. So when one becomes consumed by kama or lobha, it leads to sammoha, bewilderment. Bewilderment means what? A confusion about what is right and what is wrong. So he loses that discrimination. Kutad bhavati sammohaha. So then he says that this is what is sammoha, discrimination of what should be done and what should not be done. Sammohat smriti vibhrama. From bewilderment develops loss of remembrance of one's own benefit derived from the instructions of the scriptures. Okay. Or Baldev Devabhushan in his commentary, he says that he forgets how the scriptures say how one should not yield to sense gratification, what are the benefits of not responding to sense gratification, and all those instructions on how to stay away from sense gratification, what we should do when we get an opportunity for enjoying, how to say no, all those instructions of the scriptures, if one goes from dhyayato to sangha to kama to krodha or stage, if one comes at that stage, it is impossible to remember the instructions. Chalo chalo, shastra kya bolte, guru sadhu shastra kya bol rahe hain, socho socho socho, wo soch nahi sakte wo time pe. So then from that comes buddhi nashat. So from that smriti bramshat buddhi nasho, from that comes a destruction of resolve for spiritual practices. So this loss of buddhi means what? Here, determination. Okay. See, actually, if you see, intelligence has many aspects. One is discrimination. Okay. Another is memory. Memory is also an aspect of intelligence only. The third is determination. Okay. So discrimination, memory, determination is all aspects of intelligence only. So here he says that dhyayato vishayan pumsaha. When you meditate on it, you get sangha. Sangat sanjayate kama. So this dhyayato, sangha and kama indicates surrender of mind. Three stages of surrendering of mind. But iske baad kya aata hai? Kamat krodho bijayate. So krodha. Krodha. So these are like krodha also surrender of mind. Four levels of surrender of mind. But from krodha comes sammoha. Sammoha means loss of discrimination. Then sammohat, what is right, what is wrong. You forget it. Sammohat smriti vibhrama. Smriti vibhrama means loss of memory. Are shastra ne guru sadhu shastra ne kya bola? When lust at what I should do, what I should do, they will forget. And smriti bramshat buddhi nasho. So buddhi nasha here refers to the third aspect of intelligence, which is loss of determination. अरे चलो 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 कुछ तो साधना करके कम आउट ऑफ योर सिचुएशन. वो बोलते हैं अरे अभी कुछ नहीं होगा मेरे से. द डिटर्मिनेशन टू गेट ओवर दैट स्ट्रगलिंग सिचुएशन, वन लूजेस द डिटर्मिनेशन. सो दीज आर थ्री स्टेजेस ऑफ सरेंडरिंग ऑफ इंटेलिजेंस. So the mind surrenders, then mind pulls the... So first the senses surrender, then the senses pull the mind and the mind surrenders, and mind pulls the intelligence and the intelligence surrenders. So even though later, I think, or did we already see Indriyanam Icharatam Yanmano Anuvidiyate? I think this is in this chapter only. Yeah. Here he says, Indriyanam Icharatam Yanmano Anuvidiyate Tadasya Harati Pragyam Vayur Navam Ivambasi. How? He says, one of the moving senses which the mind follows steals away the intelligence as the wind moves a boat on the water. So the sense objects are controlling the senses. The senses are controlling the mind. The mind steals away the intelligence. So that is elaborated here. That is elaborated here, as we saw that. So first the senses pull the senses, and the senses pull the mind, and the four stages of surrendering of mind: dhyayato, to sangha, to kama, to krodha. And when krodha, loba, so you can say, you can also put loba here. When it is fulfilled, it leads to greed. When it is not fulfilled, it leads to anger. Then this krodha and loba lead to sammoha. Loss of discrimination is one level of surrender of the intelligence. Then the loss of memory is the second level of surrender of the intelligence. And loss of determination is the third level of surrender of the intelligence. Then he says that buddhinashat pranashyati. Then one falls into the pole of samsara. Complete. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani, jatare shayanam. Iha samsare bahudustare kripaya pahe parimura. Kripaya pare pahimurare. Pajagovindam, pajagovindam. Like that. So, therefore, how this whole thing happens, this is described in detail here. The various, how the senses pull the sense objects, and the sense objects pull the senses, and the senses pull the mind, and the mind pulls the intelligence, and then finally the intelligence pulls the soul into samsara. And that is elaborated here. Four levels of surrender of the mind and three levels of surrender of the intelligence, and finally the soul also is pulled to surrender to samsara, like that. So this is what he says, if one does not control one's mind by spiritual practices, then this is what happens. Then there is dhyayato, vishayan, sangaha, kamaha, krodaha, sammohaha, smriti vibrama, buddhinasha, pranashyati. These are the stages that he is talking about. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions here? Anything anyone would like to share as well? Okay, if there is no discussion points or questions or comments, I think we will move on to the next verse. Okay, so next he says, Raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyais charan atma vashair vidheyatma prasadam adigachati. So this answers the fourth question of Arjuna, which was vrajeta kim. How does he engage his sense? So, which means, or vrajeta kim means, how does he walk? So how does that means, how does he engage his senses? That is the question. So he says, Videyatma, one whose mind is submissive, Vishayan Indriyais Charan, and who engages in the sense objects with the senses. So when the mind becomes submissive, so mind becomes submissive means what? It is not doing dhyayato, sangha, kama, krodha or lobha. That is not happening. So when one's mind becomes submissive, submissive means submissive to the intelligence, not to the senses. So submission means to a higher authority. The authority higher to the mind is senses. Sorry, the intelligence. So submissive means when the mind becomes submissive to the intelligence. Vishayan indriyais charan. And this submissive mind is engaging the senses, senses in the sense objects. But raga dvesha vimuktaihi. Generally, for a normal person, his engagement of the sense objects with the senses happens due to raga and dvesha. When there is, you know, whatever we have deep attachment to, we want our senses to engage with that object. Whatever we have deep repulsion from, we don't want to engage our sense with those objects. Right? So, but for a person who is Vidhayatma, for one whose mind is completely under the control of the intelligence and not of the senses, for him, he is free from raga and dvesha. So, raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyais charan. So, he can engage the sense in the sense objects without any raga and dvesha. Because even a jnana yogi has to maintain his body and soul together to perform his sadhana. So for that, he has to eat, he has to walk, he has to drink, he has to breathe, right? He has to see things, you know, what is nourishing, what is not nourishing, what he should eat, what he should not eat. So in order to engage, he has to practically engage all his senses in the sense objects. But such a person who is Vidhayatma, mind is controlled, he does not have to do it due to raga and dvesha. He does it purely out of duty. I need to maintain to practice my sadhana. So therefore he engages. Raga vimuktaistu vishayan indriyacharan avashai. So under the control of mind, prasadam adigachati. So such a person attains peace. So this is how a sthitapragya engages his senses. So you will see a self-realized person also eat. You will see a self-realized person also sleep. But that is not under raga dvesha, that is under a mood of duty-bound consciousness. I have to maintain my body in order to perform my sadhana. For that, I have to eat, I have to see certain things, I have to hear a few things. So he engages all his senses, but without any raga and dvesha. Of course, this is a sthita pragya. But we cannot artificially say, "Arey, mujhe bhi kuch raga dvesha nahi hai." Vaisa nahi hai. So that is why we have to constantly give Krishna conscious engagement to the senses, so that mind will develop some raga towards within that. Jo bhi available Krishna conscious gratification ke andar hi wo raga aur dvesh unka ho jayega. Usme se then he will engage like that. Okay. We will just see the purport and then we will open up for some discussion points or questions. So he says, this verse answers the question, how does the sthita pragya go? Vrajeta kim? The Lord explains that it is not a fault to accept the object senses if it is done with the controlled senses, with the absence of attachment of the objects in the mind. अगर मन में राग और द्वेष, मन राग और द्वेष रहित हो, देन विद दैट माइंड, फिर इंद्रियों के प्रति, इंद्रियों इंद्रियों और इंद्रिय वस्तु संगम हो, यू नो द सेंसेस कैन कम इन टच विद द सेंस ऑब्जेक्ट्स इफ द माइंड इज फ्री ऑफ राग एंड द्वेष, एंड सच अ पर्सन इज प्रज्ञ. अकॉर्डिंग टू अमरकोश, विधेय मीन्स सबमिसिव, सिचुएटेड इन वर्ड्स, कॉम्प्लायंट, कंट्रोल्ड, वेल बिहेव्ड, पोलाइट एंड इक्वल. वन हूज माइंड इज सबमिसिव टू इंस्ट्रक्शंस, ओके, अटेन्स पीस, ओके. हू कॉन्टैक्ट्स ऑब्जेक्ट्स विद सेंसेस कंट्रोल्ड बाय द माइंड, सेंसेस डिवॉइड ऑफ अटैचमेंट एंड रिपल्शन, अटेन्स पीस. सो इफ द माइंड इज सबमिसिव टू द इंस्ट्रक्शंस ऑफ द इंटेलिजेंस, एंड देन दैट माइंड इज कंट्रोलिंग द सेंसेस, एंड इवन इफ द सेंसेस मे कम इन टच विद द सेंस ऑब्जेक्ट्स, दैट पर्सन विल नॉट बी अफेक्टेड. कॉन्टैक्टिंग द सेंस ऑब्जेक्ट इज नॉट अ फॉल्ट, रादर इट इज अ गुड क्वालिटी फॉर वन हू डज सो विद कंट्रोल, विधेयात्मा. इन अदर वर्ड्स, फॉर द स्थित प्रज्ञा, accepting the renunciation of enjoyment of objects either by withdrawal of the senses or by engaging the senses is beneficial. Kim asita vrajeta kim? Asana and vrajana, sitting or walking, engaging or disengaging, for a sthita pragya both are equally beneficial. Because a sthita pragya is not defined by engagement of senses or non-engagement of senses, but asthitagya is defined by freedom from raga-dvesha. Raga-dvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran atma-vasher vidheyatma-prasadam-adipacchati. So, what defines asthitapragya is actually freedom from raga and dvesha. Like that. So, in this verse he says, how Vrajeta Kim? How does he engage? He engages by the controlled mind, in Atma Vashair Vidheyatma. One whose mind is submissive can engage the sense objects with the senses as long as his mind is free from raga and dvesha. And if the senses are under the control of the mind. So, mind controlled by intelligence and senses controlled by that controlled mind, when those senses engage with the sense objects, then engagement of the sense objects will lead to peace. Otherwise, if the mind is not under the control of the intelligence, and if the senses are not under the control of the mind, when those senses come in touch with the sense objects, it will lead to agitation. It will lead to agitation. But if the mind is controlled by the intelligence and the senses are controlled by that controlled mind, then even when those senses come in touch with the sense objects, it will lead to peace. Prasadam adigachati. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as add? One hand is up. If the devotee is not from the doctor's group, you can please ask your question in the chat box, because this is a private session. This is exclusively for Bhaktivedanta Hospital doctors. So for those of you who may not be in that group, can please ask your questions in the chat box, and we will take the questions. Yes, Sachitran too.
How to understand the spiritual raga and dvesha in the case of this? This is applicable to only a
No,
condition, living entity.
we are just talking about conditions also. We are not talking about spiritual raga and spiritual. No, we are not talking about that.
Okay, Prabhuji. So any person, like suppose here you are mentioning about sadhakas, but those who are pure devotees of the Lord, sometimes, a person, he's His anger is not on the platform what a person who's having Radha Dvesha.
No, that is a totally different. That's on a different platform. We are not touching that, because here we are not discussing pure devotees. Here we are discussing that just the Jnani Stita Pragya. A Jnani Stita Pragya is, he does not have any transcendental anger and all those things. That's a perfected devotee only has all that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anything else anyone would like to share, ask, add? Any final questions, comments? We have just 2 minutes left. I don't want to take a new verse now. But if there are, okay, there is one thing in the chat box here. A Stita Pragya person is already detached. So why it is said he should be free from? No, this verse does not say that he should be free from aversion. This verse say that he is free from aversion. This verse is not a normative verse. This verse is not telling what a Stita Pragya should do. Rather, it's what a Stita Pragya does. This describes a Stita Pragya rather than giving instruction to a Stita Pragya. A Stita Pragya cannot be instructed. Like that. Okay. I think we'll pause here and continue this discussion. Actually, next Friday, I will be traveling. I have some other important commitment. Next Friday, I will not be able to take the session. So next one Friday, we will have to cancel it. So I apologize, before only. So next Friday, I will not be able to take. But the Friday after that, we will continue this discussion. So thank you very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. So we will meet again next to next Friday. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.